The Israeli noose around the Gazan neck has been tightened to levels intended not even to suffocate, but to torture. With each day in this past week, the level of brutality shown by the Israeli occupation has gotten progressively worse. To guide you through this brutal week, I'm joined by Dee, and I guess there's no other place to start than the Israeli offensive on Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital. How can the events there of this week be summed up?
Well, Alejandro, on Monday, Israeli forces raided Al-Shifa Hospital, where around 30,000 Palestinians are sheltering, and they were sniping at those fleeing despite ordering them to evacuate. You know, Al-Shifa has regained minimal functionality since the November siege, if you recall, but is now unable to treat the injured due to the siege because, you know, the hospital is not really functional at this point. To give summary of what occurred at Al-Shifa, hundreds of civilians were murdered and over 1,000 people were abducted. This is throughout the week-long and ongoing siege, including Al Jazeera journalists and medical staff. So, you know, they're rounding up all sorts of people. There's indiscriminate. These aren't, you know, resistance fighters. They're not nowhere near Hamas, but yet here they are rounding up these folks, you know, and they're suffering at the hands of these IOF soldiers. I mean, we like to call them ITF, Israeli terrorist forces, because they are terrorizing the collective. Anyways, so it's very hard to talk about what occurred at this hospital because it was pretty barbaric. You know, there are eyewitness testimonies that say civilian women were sexually assaulted. They were raped and executed inside the hospital. And while all this is happening, Israeli forces bulldoze buildings and homes near the hospital. They set fire to others, trapping occupants inside and subsequently burning them to death. I'm getting shaky just saying this stuff. It's so hard to talk about it because it's new level of barbarity, you know.
I just wanted to make the point because you said last week in the episode that Israel is trying to make Gaza unlivable. And there again, you said that they're bulldozing the buildings and homes near the hospital. They're bombing like everything around the hospital, all the infrastructure. And yeah, that's basically the point again, just being shown day after day that this is what Israel is trying to do.
Exactly. It's a systematic campaign. Like, they know what they're doing. They're destroying where obviously it's unlivable conditions. There's actually no homes left in the north. If you look at a like aerial view of Gaza in the north, it's mass destruction and, you know, mass demolition, if you will. So now they already cleared the ground for what they want to do. They already created their buffer zone. So yeah, they're creating the conditions that'll actually make it easier for them to expel Palestinians from Gaza. But let's hope things change, and I'm hoping things actually get better from here. I mean, we're seeing the worst of it right now, but I hate to say this statement, it gets worse before it gets better. You know, we're seeing a lot of things happening with Russia and China and all that, so I kind of want to pass it to you at some point. But I do want to get to the nitty-gritty. There's details. You know, from days 1 to 6 of the siege on the hospital, hundreds were murdered, and at least 1,300 people were abducted from the hospital. Some of those people that were killed were patients who were deprived of vital oxygen and medicine and food when Israel cut off the electricity and kidnapped medical staff. So, you know, it's not just from violence. It's things that would eventually occur because of the lack of medical equipment and resources. Anyways, among those abducted on day 1 were Al Jazeera journalists and his crew, Ishmael Al-Ghul. They were freed after 12-hour detentions. They reported being stripped, blindfolded, and taken to an unknown location, as well as abuse and beatings. Eyewitness testimony by Jamila Al-Haisi, who escaped the hospital, recounted the brutalization and murder of women in the hospital. Was that the recording that we've seen go around?
Yes, yes. It's been going quite viral because of the barbarity, as you said, of it.
Yeah, I mean, she makes mention of seeing the women raped, kidnapped, and executed. And she saw the soldiers, Israeli soldiers, pulling bodies from under the rubble and unleashing their dogs to eat the bodies, the corpse. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is too much.
I mean, it's really, I think you said now we're kind of reaching the peak of this. Every day it feels like we've reached the peak and it gets worse with every single day, the war crimes they commit. And I mean, there, as you said from the quote, the unleashing of dogs to eat on already dead bodies that were pulled out of the ground. It's just complete barbarity. And Palestinians are just seen as the ultimate inferior to these Jewish supremacists. So that's what they are, these Israelis. They believe that Palestinians are just pure scum. And that's just seen through their actions. But as we've been recording this, I'm now seeing the news pull up that Israel has now cut off communication with another hospital, not the Shifa hospital, but another hospital in Gaza. So they're attacking two hospitals or multiple hospitals at the same time, I should say. Today they encircled it and attempted to forcibly evacuate it, similar to the Al-Shifa hospital. And currently now there is no communication with the Amal hospital, the one that I'm talking about. And at the same time now, they have also been attacking an aid distribution point. Remember how we've spoken about the flower massacre last week and obviously the big one a few weeks ago? Israel is continuing its progressively oppressive and disgusting use of force on innocent civilians, especially given how desperate Palestinian civilians, Gazans, are at this moment in time. But we can begin to move on now to the second story, the second one of the biggest stories of the week, and that was that the US put forward a Security Council resolution for a ceasefire. This, however, was not really a ceasefire, and that's why Russia and China vetoed it in the Security Council. We saw the US put forward a motion which would have a 6-week humanitarian pause, let's say, really, just like the ones that we had in November. Specifically here, we have the release or the unconditional release of Israeli hostages, but no commitment to releasing Palestinian hostages or Palestinian prisoners, political prisoners that are held in Israeli jails. And so it would kind of be Israel gets its way whilst not having to even end the genocide that it's currently undertaking on the Palestinian population in Gaza. And for that reason, exactly, Russia and China vetoed this, and Algeria also voted against it in the Security Council. This isn't a ceasefire proposal, or at least a serious ceasefire proposal. This is the US, as we said last week with a couple of the stories, they are trying to save their face now. They've caused enough damage, and now they're trying to still act like these mediators, as they've always tried to, whereas we know that they are anything but impartial. They are supporting Israel no matter what, up until this stage. Things could change ever so slightly, but I don't see that happening. And so, yeah, what we have right now is a continuation of the violence because the US wants to play politics. They're pretending to care about the Palestinian population. They're not actually caring about the Palestinian population. And so, for as long as these political games continue, we will just have more and more Gazans being killed by Israel with nobody saying anything against it. But I guess in more
You
positive
know what?
news, we can now move on to our third big story of the week. We saw a big development come out of Canada, right, Dee?
Yes, more promising news from the international community. Canada is going to halt further arms exports to Israel in support of ceasefire and two-state solution. They are recognizing the ICJ ruling. So, in summary, the non-binding resolution called for an end to arms sales, but its language was amended, refusing to recognize a Palestinian state per usual. You know, the language is important, but we'll worry about semantics later because we need to actually stop the genocide. So, they obviously denoted Hamas as a terror organization and removed a call to sanction Israeli officials for inciting genocide. Obviously, they're still providing that diplomatic cover for Israeli officials. Again, nothing new there. But we're seeing a movement, right? We're seeing things shift a bit. And that's something that we've never seen really before. Everyone has had this, you know, they stood in concert with each other when it came to supporting Israel unconditionally. Now we're seeing people are actually taking steps. Well, nation states are taking steps.
And just one point that I'd want to add on to that is, I guess this isn't really it's not the most incredible thing that could have happened, like especially from a material aspect, because Canada doesn't sell that many weapons to Israel. Like overall, the US and Germany, for example, are by far bigger exporters of weapons to Israel. But maybe you have touched on this already. It's kind of the idea, it's kind of Canada can set the path now and maybe lay the groundwork for almost a domino effect for other countries to follow in its path, to follow the ICJ's ruling that selling weapons to a state undertaking a genocide is illegal. And so hopefully, I mean, we've also seen throughout the week, Spain and a few other European countries have started to move forward with their plans to recognize the Palestinian state. And so bit by bit, hopefully these small little steps can develop into something a bit more material for Palestinians. And well, as we've said, the most important thing, however, now is the end of the genocide because people are being killed for nothing. But now, if we begin to close the episode as we did in the same way last week, where we go through just a few headlines that you may have missed, I guess we can start off with a few negative ones where, although last week we spoke about UNRWA funding being resumed by Australia and a few other countries. Finland now is one of the latest ones to resume funding. The American government does not fail to disappoint, and again has now, or Biden has now signed a bill from Congress banning funding for the aid distribution agency, so to say, until March 2025. And so this, when you compare it to before the beginning of the genocide, where the US would send $300 to $400 million a year, now it's going to send nothing because it hopes that it can find other countries to kind of fund this instead of themselves. Additionally, we have more news from the West Bank, where Israel, again, we've spoken a bit about demolishing buildings. It does, that's kind of its one of its favorite things to do. It's demolished 300 homes in the West Bank, and it's taken acres of land for settlements. And it's one of the biggest land thefts since 1993, since the Oslo Accords. But anyway, Dee, would you like to finish this episode off with some better news?
Yeah, always got to end it with the good news, right? In good news, Saudi Arabia pledged $40 million to UNRWA, and Finland has resumed funding. Also, the EU announces plans to sanction Israeli settlers. That's about it for good. But I mean, like I said, we're seeing the international community really make strides towards, you know, stopping the hostilities. I don't think we're actually in that momentum of Palestinian
Let's say little
liberation
steps for now.
Yet. little steps. I mean, I'm trying to be hopeful. But, you know, I did want to touch base on something really quick before we end this. You know, I think it's important to mention about this whole Russia and China thing and the UN Security Council. You know, for once, the U.S. brought this ceasefire resolution correct, and it used ambiguous language and all this. Like, we saw this coming. We knew that there was going to be, you know, it was structured in a certain way where it wouldn't give Palestinians any advantage, but it would also make them try. It would make them look good, right? So what's interesting is Moscow turned around and immediately accused Washington of being a hypocritical spectacle and that they do not pressure Israel. It's important to state that because now we're seeing the West, namely the US and the UK, lose this moral superiority. And now the world sees that and they're pushing back against them. So the US is losing its moral high ground. And this is going to be a problem, right? You know, it's not going to be this champion of human rights where it gets to say that and invade other countries and democratize it. Now they're going to be questioned about their every move. And now the East is going to challenge them. So this is important when it comes to, you know, the larger geopolitics of this. It's almost like a proxy, the you know, Israel-Palestine. It's a proxy for these bigger players. And this is something we're going to probably see play out as time goes on.
At the end of the day, they're playing politics with people's lives. It's nothing new. It's something that we've seen for a long time around the world, especially with the US and, well, with Russia and China as well, to some extent. I guess that's just the unfortunate reality of the world that we live in today. But on that somber note, I guess we should end this episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.